Hi everyone, how you doing? Welcome to Hello Esports, a podcast by Orange, Letzteboya Journal and the Luxembourg Esports Federation about all things esports in Luxembourg. My name is Maxim and I'm your host. Last time, we found out all there is to know about esports events. But today, it's time for us to see esports through the eyes of its main actors in an episode about the lifestyle of a pro player.
Hi Maxim, hey everybody. My name is René Treur and I've been commentating esports events for over a decade. I will be explaining all the difficult esports terms for this episode. Now, this episode is about professional esports players. A pro esports player is someone who competes in video game tournaments and leagues and represents either a sports club or an esports organization, sometimes both, and receives a salary for their efforts. In the past, there were a few occasions where players were not tied to clubs or organizations, but made so much money by winning prize money they were considered professional gamers or pro esports players.
Conventional sports are activities involving physical efforts. When we see a footballer running, it's easy for us to understand how demanding it is for his or her body. But to get how mentally as well as physically demanding it is for someone who sits behind a screen playing games for hours is less obvious. This is why I'm joined by esports researcher Chuck Toll.
So, my name is Chuck Toll. I'm a researcher at the German Sports University in Cologne. And yeah, I'm into esports studies or esports research since now 3 or 4 years. And yeah, I'm loving to play on myself. So it's the right job for me.
How does an esports player train? What are the typical injuries? And what equipment do they use? These are the questions I was excited to learn about. But to start with, I wanted to know more about Chuck's passion.
What was the very first game you ever bought when you were a small kid? Maybe your parents bought it or yourself, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really tough because my father was really early on into computers and something like this. And so we got a lot of stuff at home. And I think my first game was at the Commodore Amiga, but I don't know especially one game. So Tetris, Dune, Prince of Persia.
The Commodore Amiga is one of the first personal computers ever to be popular among gamers. Commodore launched their Amiga system in 1985 with 16 and 32-bit processors. Graphics and audio were better than on the Atari ST, which was popular before Commodore Amiga took over. The Amiga line sold an estimated 4.85 million units during the late 1980s to early 1990s.
I think later on at the Game Boy, Super Mario, and like this.
Yeah, so what's for sure is it was very different from what we know today.
Yeah, that's totally, yeah. Totally different.
It's changed so much, new technologies and everything. You said that you still play a lot today, while others might put on a film or a series when they come home. You do play. So what is it that makes your passion for esports so big?
I think it's the different kinds of esports. So you can watch it, you can be part of it and playing it, and it's so easy to get in touch with other people. And especially the playing factor is, I think, this one what's catching me. So I'm falling asleep when I'm watching a TV show or some movies, but I can play the whole night. I'm really tired then at the end, but
it's the adrenaline.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. So I think people who aren't so much into video game playing or esports, they can't understand, but you don't watch a film or a movies for 6 hours, but I can play for 6 hours.
So yeah.
It's a little bit different.
Chuck is so passionate about esports that he even made it his job. Therefore, he's on the front line when the big question comes up.
Have you guys seen esports and the E-League?
I don't know if that's sports, but it's great asking if you've seen it.
I have not seen it, Ernest.
Are esports a sport? And I was curious to hear his take on the never-ending debate.
I think it is a sport. And I think you have a little bit be more open-minded for this one. So for me, you have all kinds of aspects like traditional sports. So you have a competitive aspect. There are different kind of physical and mental skills are necessary to be a good player or to be a good athlete in esports. And especially what's so so a big part of esports, and I think it's bigger than in other sports. You have to be communicative. So especially when you are playing League of Legends or Counter Strike.
Was that one nice? Wait, I flashed twice.
You don't can be could be silent if you are playing. So you have to communicate with your partners. And for this one, there are a lot of equal skills, but it's not a physical dominant sport. And I can understand why maybe especially older people don't understand why is video gaming a sport, but when they see maybe a live event and see how the also the crowd is interacting with the athletes.
Give the boat a ninja! Give the boat a ninja! La 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 la! La 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 la! Give the boat a ninja!
So it's like any other sports.
For Chuck, it's a no-brainer. Esports might be an unconventional sport, but it is a sport. And with sports comes athletes. So to add experience to knowledge, I asked one of Luxembourg's best esports players, the latest champion of Germany's 99-damage CSGO League, Max Kugner, to join us.
Hello, I'm Max, I'm 18 years old, and I play video games for a living under the banner of sports.
Throughout, Max will let us know how the discoveries of Chuck's research is applied to him and his career. So now let's go and find out how professional esports players prepare and take care of themselves to achieve the best performances.
What are the main characteristics that an esport player should have to be a good player?
Of course, the mental skills are the dominant one. So they have to be really, had a really good attention, concentration, communication, as I already mentioned, but also good calmness.
God damn it! You took the
yo. Focus. It's still live. They're gonna rebuy.
How do you train those things?
Obviously, you can train it in the game. So if you're playing, you can train concentration and reflexes if you're just playing. But there are also like aimbots or something like this. So a computer-based training. But beside this, you also can train at the more physical state, and you can train your concentration or reflexes, for example, with ball catching workouts or exercises.
How do you prepare for an important game? Do you have like habits that you always do again or things like that?
I can speak for me. So I have a routine. Before the match, I like to go to the gym just to get my head cleared and focus for the important game. And then I do some wrist exercise to prepare my hand. Then I like to take a cold shower, and 15, 30 minutes before the game, I want to be in front of the PC so I am ready for the game.
So you talked about playing the game a lot. I guess these guys play the game every day. As in any other sport, we say practice makes perfect. So I guess that's just the same for an esports player. So you told me about the exercises that you can do and everything. But what does the lifestyle of a pro player look like?
I think there is not the general lifestyle, because there are It's really differs between the teams and maybe also between the regions. So we see, especially in the European region and maybe also in the American, that there a more active lifestyle is evolving. So it's not a part of every team. So often, we have this kind of prototype that they are playing a lot at the day and just sitting. Mm-hmm. But also, teams are seeing that they have to maybe be a little bit more physical active to have especially a longer career. So if you're just sitting the whole day in your early ages, like 20, like your 20s and your early 20s, you don't have this impact of the sitting times maybe at the beginning. But if it's going on to 10 years, so at your beginning of the 30s, where not a lot of esport professionals are, so you have maybe some injuries or illnesses, which are the reason of too much computer playing and esports without any compensation activity. So yeah, we have those kind of pro gamers, and I want to say, or I will say, maybe more in the, especially the Asian ones, which are just playing and sitting a lot of time in the day. And we have some more active players who are going to make pauses and some regeneration processes. So, I think there is a little bit of changing in this sports, but it has to be doing more.
I'm playing and having physical activity every day. So we're not playing with the team every day. We also have like off days where we don't practice together, but I also play for myself.
So you're one of those players who are moving much more, I'd say.
I would say yes, yeah.
You're the very first Luxembourgish player to become a professional. What do you do to kind of deal with the pressure?
To be honest, I don't really feel any pressure. I mean, it's a big step for me, but I just play my own game and I don't think very much about it. It doesn't feel any different for me.
So you don't feel the pressure at all?
No.
Yeah. So you kind of answered my next question already, but I'm still going to ask it because next to practice, we also have taking care of the body and mental health, of course. And I guess that's very important because, I mean, in an athlete's head, you have the feeling that you always have to train, that if you're not going to train one day, maybe you'll lose your skill. But on the other hand, how important is a pause next to that? I guess it's just as important.
Yeah, we need pauses and regular pauses for our regeneration. So if we are training, we don't enhance our performance. We enhance our performance when we are resting. So that's a big, big point. And also professional athletes in other sports don't want to have this truth for them. Because we need more regeneration pauses and rests for our athletes in this part, and so it's very, very important to do such good placed pauses. But for esport, we don't know in this moment which are the best maybe the pause periods or how long I should game and when I have to take a pause. But there's a really new study from Ms. Donahue and the team out of the US, and they saw that they invented in 3 hours of gaming just a 6-minute walking pause. The players are enhancing in skill and especially in cognitive skills and have more concentration in the tests. So just 6 minutes of walking between your games maybe enhance your gameplay. And it's totally makes sense. So especially when you're on a losing streak, just go away from your PC and just walk around for 6 minutes, go outside, maybe just 6 minutes for walking. You can think about maybe what just went wrong, where you can improve your playing. And after this, you can sit down and go on.
We just had a boot camp, so we trained together. We were in the same place, and we always had, I think every 3 hours, we had a 1 hour break. So even more than 6 minutes.
And what do you do during those pauses?
First of all, we probably eat. Then we either go for a walk or we just stay outside the building just to get fresh air in our head.
If you watch a bit of Twitch or gamers on YouTube, you'll quickly notice that their equipment always looks the same. Especially their chairs. Colorful and big, but most importantly, ergonomic. So next to pauses and physical exercises, I was wondering if using the right equipment can help avoid injuries.
But you have to use it also right. So it's cool if you have a perfect ergonomic place, but if you're just not sitting right, or there is not just one right sitting, but if you're leaning forward, and what we are seeing often if we are looking at esport professionals, they don't have this perfect posture at the gaming, and especially in stress moments. And also, last week there was a conference, Esport Research Network conference, and there was also this topic discussed by researchers and also by athletes. And one big argument of athletes, and you can't argue with this, and even if it's bad, they said to us, yeah, it's cool if we can go for perfect ergonomics and something like this, but if I doing this and I will decrease in 0.5% of my performance, I don't will do it.
Yeah, so, of course.
So we have to be a little bit, have a compromise, you can say it, yeah, between, yeah, maybe a little bit more healthy gaming, but also high performance. And it's like other traditional high performance sports, it's also not that good for your health. If you are weightlifting and weightlifter and lifts over 200 kilos week for week, it's not the best one for your skeletal health.
And I was also thinking about Nike running shoes. We all know Nike running shoes aren't the best for the foot, but they're the quickest.
Yeah.
So athletes will use them and it's bad for them.
Yeah, and you have to go on both ways. Yeah, of course, we want be more health promoting on one side, but also performance promoting on the other side. And we try, and the athletes should try to go between those two ways and don't, yeah, force maybe one. For me, yeah, it's more important that they are healthy and not to be at their highest performance at this moment, but they want to be at the highest performance that's possible.
I don't mind playing in a different position, but I know many players who really care about it. They say that they can only play in this position or otherwise they can't play at their best. But for me, I don't really mind about my sitting position or my desk height.
So you can like combine both?
Yeah.
Good sitting and good performances.
Exactly.
So what I was wondering is, what are the typical injuries that always come back in that sport?
So mostly it's like also in office workers, it's back or neck problems. So that's one big part. And I think the biggest issue or the biggest reason is because they are sitting too much and in wrong positionings. So there we have this aspect of ergonomics. But what we can also see is some overuse injuries, like elbow or wrist injuries, mm-hmm. that are more common if you're using it a lot of times. And this is one factor which we had in esports. So especially when you are into PC gaming and in high FPS games or League of Legends, you have to move your mouse the whole time. Maybe in console players, it's more the thumbs, which are overused, but also because of the posture, the neck and the back.
Chuck had already given me all his secrets for a successful and healthy career. This said, it's sometimes difficult to know what to start with. And since only a small minority of Luxembourgish players made it as pro yet, I thought I'd ask Chuck what advice he'd give to a semi-pro who wants to build himself up to pro gaming.
Of course, he should train in the game, and he have to maybe search after a good team or a good semi-professional team at the beginning, where a coach will coaching the sessions, and therefore he have a team maybe to going to prepare himself, and he always should compete also with higher professional players or with players who are above him, so he can learn from them. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I can advise him for the playing part, but especially, and there are my experience and my knowledge in, is to take care of your health also and your physical health, because it's helping also to take care of your mental health. So you have to do pauses, regularly pauses, and also doing some physical activity. You don't have to be the strongest or the fastest guy on the universe or on the planet, but you should have compensation exercises for the esports. And especially after a long day of gaming, maybe he should turn on the PC, not when he want to go to sleep immediately. So just take a break between gaming and then go to sleep maybe 1 hour, because you have to calm down. So warm-ups and also cool-downs in esports are necessary to be good and to be prepared for the performance, but also to decrease your neuronal and your attentional level and to get into more regeneration and relaxation processes.
Have the discipline to practice your game, take breaks, think outside the box, and don't neglect other things in life.
Well, guys, we've got no excuses anymore. We now know all there is to know to become a pro player, if we have the talent that goes with it, of course. Thanks so much to Chuck Toll and to Max Kugna for their time and their brilliant advices. Who knows, I might go and kickstart my own FIFA career now. But before that, we still have a lot of things to discover together. So if you can't get enough of esports either, be sure to press play on next episode too. See ya!